Hello, and welcome to the business of podcasting. I'm your host, Craig Hewitt from Podcast Motor. Here, each week, I'll sit down with one of the leaders in podcasting to find out how they're using this fantastic form of content marketing to connect with their audience, grow their brand, and ultimately build their business. If you're not already podcasting, then today is the day to start, and here we'll show you how. Okay, let's get on with the show. All right, welcome back for another episode of the Business of Podcasting. Today we have from the Runners Connect and Run to the Top podcast, Tina Muir. Tina, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Just enjoying this beautiful morning today. It's like the perfect day, so it just puts me in a good mood.
That's awesome. And out for a nice run, I guess, on a beautiful fall day then?
Yeah. It was one of those days where I think even a non-runner would be like, okay, this is a good day for a run. So it was nice to be out there, and it was quiet as well, which I like.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah, I can relate. It's been beautiful here. But fair disclosure, I guess Tina is a customer of ours at Podcast Motor and has been for a year and a half, maybe a good bit. And So it's been great. We've been able to see kind of the evolution of your show firsthand, and really excited to be able to share with folks kind of what you guys are doing with your podcast and kind of how it's playing into the business. So for folks who aren't familiar with Run to the Top, can you give them a sense of kind of what the show is about and what Runners Connect is?
Sure. So Runners Connect itself is primarily a coaching platform for, well, I'm sure everyone can guess, for runners. So we, you know, have all levels, runners of all levels, all speeds, you know, 5K, 10K, marathon, ultra marathon, everything really across the board. So that's the primary focus, is to provide a platform where runners can get coaching. But the connect part is we have this huge forum, essentially kind of like a forum where all the athletes kind of communicate with one another, and the coaches join in and give feedback, and everyone is a community, and it really does connect people. And that's the beauty of it to me, not even so much the coaching itself, but the connections that these people have. So that's what Runners Connect is. But yeah, we kind of pride ourselves on giving, we say, the real, the no fluff information, rather than, you know, the 10 workout songs for October. We have, you know, we research scholarly articles to write blog posts. And when we also have this, yeah, Run to the Top podcast, who I interview people, you know, some of the best experts in the world, like the scientists doing the research, inspirational people, you know, sports psychologists. I've had Chris McDougall on there, who wrote Born to Run. He's probably the only one I think most people would have heard of if they aren't runners. And then I have a lot of everyday people, you know, people who have just done inspiring things themselves, and just, you know, in quote, regular people, but have a great story to tell. So it's grown a lot, and I'm really excited for the future of it.
Can you give a sense for the size of the community that you guys have? I mean, are we talking 5,000, 50,000 people?
Well, the athletes on the coaching platform, I believe, is around 500. So that's, but that varies of levels. You can either get a training program plus access to that, which is just more generic, or you get basically a one-on-one coaching program, which is a bit more, but you get a bit more personalized. But I believe there's about 500 people. We also have an email list of, I think, 75,000, maybe more by now.
Wow.
So we have
That's
a big
huge.
Community. Yeah, big community of people that are getting our emails, and, you know, we speak to on a regular basis. So, yeah, I mean, it's got pretty big.
And as far as the podcast, I mean, so you have the community and the message board, email, blog articles that I'm sure you're putting out, and the podcast. How do you see the podcast kind of fitting in with the rest of the work that you're doing to communicate with your community?
Yeah, well, it's funny. Initially, when my boss mentioned to me, it was about a month after he'd hired me, that he wanted me to do a podcast, and I didn't even know what a podcast was. And I was terrified when I came to do it. And as we all do the first few, I cringe when I listen to them now. But the goal kind of was to give people more quality content to show them, you know, that we want to help and just to inspire people. You know, running is something, you know, as an elite runner myself, I know how much of a struggle running is, but I think a lot of it when you're just starting out running or when you're going through a bad patch, you kind of forget that and you just tend to focus on yourself and how bad things are going for you. But if you have something either to distract you through a podcast where you can kind of listen and kind of forget about, you know, if you're having a bad day or whatever, or on the other side of things, if it's, you know, you are struggling in general, you can have that podcast to listen to and get inspiration from and kind of see that it's worth working its way through. So I think it's just to give people just more support and kind of, it's very conversational. So it kind of helps people to feel better about them and their own, you know, confidence and what they're doing. So, you know, they learn a lot and it's something that's free. So that's, you know, a huge benefit.
Sure, sure. And from a growth perspective, you know, having folks like Chris McDougall on, I'm sure doesn't hurt the reach of the podcast, yeah. Right? I mean, what kind of growth have you seen with the podcast? And I guess maybe relative to the rest of the site or the users at Runners Connect?
Podcast by far has grown significantly more than anything else. I think we are definitely still growing as a business and you know, just in general, but I love looking at the chart of downloads when I first took over the podcast, and bearing in mind, you know, we hadn't really I think there was a break of like, you know, 6 months, but I think it was down to when I took over, I think it was down to like 8,000 a month, and now we're up some months over 60,000. So I wow. think it's been a huge growth, and I'm very excited and very proud of where I've been able to take it. And the big power, the big name guests definitely draw a lot of attention. But to be honest, a lot of the time it's just the regular people ones, or actually even the ones where they're people are learning about myself and my training. Like I had one with my husband, who's also my coach, a few weeks ago, and that one was surprisingly the biggest one of the year so far. Well, that's surprising to me. But it's definitely grown a lot, and it's helped get the word of Runners Connect out there because people know, you know, it's good quality content, and they kind of, you know, learn the name and learn the brand and trust us, so that when we have other things, they kind of believe it and go towards that.
Sure, sure. Yeah, so it's interesting. I think that we all think of, you know, I'm going to get Tim Ferriss on the show and my podcast is just going to explode. But I think that what you're talking about is really true, that the everyday people have a couple things going for them in terms of their impact on your show. One is that for you know, a running show or a business show or a finance show, they're a lot more relatable than you know, a Tim Ferriss or a Chris McDougall or, you know, Meb Keflezighi or whoever you have on the show, right? It people like seeing them because they're stars, but to hear how you are, you know, qualifying for a Boston Marathon or whatever is a lot closer to the people who actually listen to your show, I think.
Absolutely.
And the other thing we see that is absolutely universal is, in terms of growing your show, people who are a lot closer to kind of everyday Joe are much better at sharing the content that they put out on, you know, on your show. I was a guest on Absolutely. The Run to the Top podcast, and they share it all over Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all this kind of stuff. I think that we don't appreciate enough the sharing value of different types of guests. I guess that's
Absolutely.
Simple.
Absolutely. Yeah. I could not agree more. And yeah, I've had plenty of examples of that. You know, I've had someone from Strava who, you know, the founder of Strava, who, you know, that's a huge company, or founder of Nerd Fitness, or Ben Greenfield, who are these big names, but it's very difficult to get them to do more than, you know, a tweet or a quick, you know, share. Whereas the people who are really proud to come on the show, the people that, you know, they realize the honor, and especially if someone else has recommended them for that show. Like a lot of my guests are just people that have been recommended by my listeners, and so all the people who recommend well, anyone really, they know that I'm listening to that. And so they share. And yes, it is more about the sharing side of things from, you know, the regular people rather than just those big names who might, you know, to them, they realize that you're just in some way, well, in a lot of ways, you're just having them on the show to make yourself look good. Mm-hmm. And they realize that, whereas the other people kind of are very excited to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. So, okay. So, you know, the show's grown a lot and it's hopefully driving a lot of the business at Runners Connect. What is the goal of the podcast aside from, you know, providing good content to the listeners, as far as a business or marketing sense, what would ideally you like the natural kind of flow of your listeners to be through the rest of your business or content?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of break down into premium content for a lot of things we have on the site. You know, there's some calculators of how to predict your, you know, race time, or we have a lot of resources for premium members, which is completely separate to the coaching. It's just for people who want the top level stuff. But the podcast, you know, is always going to be free. It's always going to be where we are going to just give people inspiration, really, because I think so much of running is the mental side of things. And, you know, we can give people all the coaching in the world, but if you don't believe in yourself and you don't think that other people are struggling, and, you know, people forget that when they go to a race, or when they're out training, they forget that there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of other people out there going through a struggle too, training for that same race, but it kind of feels like you're by yourself. Whereas if we have that podcast, it just gives people like a companion essentially for those lonely days. So, we see it as just a way of connecting with people to show them that, again, we're human. We're not, you know, a robot who automates everything and just kind of posts things just on autopilot. Like, we are real people. And I think the reason my boss hired me in the first place was because he saw that I'm very real and relatable. And I think that's why we want it to become the place where people see that, you know, not only can we help people, but we can just become a person rather than just a company or like a robot, I guess. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I think that I think the answer is a little bit different for everyone. And so I think that's the value of I hope what we're trying to provide here with a bunch of different types of podcasts and a bunch of different mm-hmm. types of businesses is to show, like you're saying, somebody who is into podcast for us, you know, someone who's into podcasting. And a listener to this show might have a goal or a business similar to yours. Say, yeah, that's kind of what I'm going to try to get out of my show too. So yeah. I think that's great. You know, something that's striking me now is talking about your episode that you had recently with your husband, who's also your coach, as one of the most popular ones. It's sounding like you personally are getting a lot out of the podcast. Is that true? And kind of so what have you kind of seen change with yourself or your, I'll say, personal brand or whatever through the podcast?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen huge changes. And the podcast is by far my favorite part of my job. I love the interviews. I love the promotion. I love hearing about, you know, what the guests thought and really taking the time to research the guests, you know, not just ask them, you know, tell me, you know, the day you started running, like I really go deep and, you know, oh, 10 years ago you had this happen and how did you overcome this? I really take the time and think about it. And I think people not only appreciate that, they can tell I've taken that time, but both the guest and the listeners can see that this is really kind of engaging the guest rather than just them being able to recite the same answer that they always give. Mm-hmm. And I think that that makes it more personal, and it just it builds these connections for me as well, so that, you know, I can see in the future I've made a lot of friends with a lot of, you know, people that can help me with my personal brand and whatever I decide I want to do eventually. So I love building the connections, and I think a lot of it is as a podcast host, you kind of have to think. You have to ask those questions that come into your mind as the person is talking. Which is a tough job to do, and I'm sure you know this, and anyone listening who hosts a podcast, it's difficult to fully engage and listen to what the person is saying, but at the same time kind of almost remember what you want to ask them, because if you're thinking that question, the chances are other people are asking it. And that's, I often get a lot of emails from guests, you know, even saying things like I've changed their lives and made them believe that they could run, and that to me brings me so much fulfillment, like more than anything else in my life. It just, you know, I would, like they always say, you know, you need to find something that you would do for free. And I love this. Like I really get so much fulfillment knowing that I'm helping people, and it's brought me so much happiness. And now we've actually been able to get sponsors, that obviously brings in some monetary value to it as well.
That's great. Somebody's got to pay the podcast motor bill every month, right?
Yeah. There you go.
You know, so no, in all seriousness, I think your point about being a good host is an important one, and I think being prepared is the most important thing you can do to be a good host. But mm-hmm. but I think you need to what is it Muhammad Ali says, anybody can be prepared or anyone can have a game plan until you get punched in the mouth.
Yeah,
that's true. Like I go into a lot of almost every conversation with kind of an idea of kind of the theme, if you will, of the conversation. And it goes great for about 5 minutes until someone says something that is really different than what I thought.
Yeah.
And then it takes a whole different approach. I think that a good show is definitely not scripted and lets the conversation take whatever path it wants to.
Yeah, which is difficult because, you know, if you had a question that you really wanted to ask, but the conversation is going in a different direction, you kind of have to follow it and trust it, which requires some concentration and also trust. So, yeah, it's difficult, but I definitely agree that's what you want to strive for.
When you've been researching guests, what are a few things that you do kind of every time you want to research a guest?
Well, I type their name into Google. I think we all do that. But I go for, you know, maybe their website, and you look at their about page and kind of, you know, dive into some things that maybe they mention in passing, like just a one sentence thing. But I think, oh, well, maybe, you know, other people would like to know about that. Or, you know, then I'll go to other things they've been featured in and say, you know, I saw you had a really difficult time a few years ago with, you know, XYZ. How did you overcome that? Or just like basically the same thing I do when I'm in the interview, as I'm reading through this, my gut questions that come out in like immediately, those I just try to like jump on, and then it kind of spirals from there. I like really try and think about what I would want to know about that person. And then I guess just the other one is just to kind of, if they have a book coming out, I will read the book. I think maybe only once or twice I've had a book where I haven't read it from cover to cover. Cause I really, and I like make notes along the book, like along the side of the pages, so that, you know, anything that jumps out to me, why did you say this? Or found it interesting you've said that. So really just taking the time with whatever their channel may be.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. I think that having a good sense of the guest before you get in is really key. I mean, we kind of touched on it before, but I think it's really important in letting the conversation flow, because otherwise you're going to go down those list of 8 questions you want to ask everybody.
Yeah.
So, okay, so the show has seen like great growth in the last year or so, and along with the business. So in the next kind of say 2 years from now, what do you kind of envision for the show, and what do you think it's going to take to get there?
I mean, I would love it to get to when people type in running, we're the first podcast that comes up. Mm-hmm. You know, we have almost perfect ratings on iTunes, so that kind of helps. But for the most part, I come across a lot of runners who do listen to podcasts, but they haven't heard of this podcast. So I want to get it to the point to where this is the go-to podcast for anyone who loves running. And yeah, we are looking into growing it with having like mini coaching questions on there, like mini episodes. So I'd love, I mean, ultimately for me, I would even love it for it to be like a John Lee Dumas kind of thing, where it could be, I could just focus on podcasting, because I feel like, to me, that plays to my strength of being relatable and able to connect with people. So I would love for it to take off on its own. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's only so many hours people spend running. So you kind of are limited in some way with, you know, people can, there's only so much running most people can take. So I don't want it to become a kind of place where it's just too much and people then just kind of fall off because they're just overwhelmed with where to start. So it's going to be difficult finding a balance, but I'd really love to get it to where we are just the premier podcast featured in iTunes for running.
Well, I think you have one thing that's an innate advantage, is that runners, and I would consider myself a runner still, are irrationally passionate about running.
Yes.
So you know, I'd say the only one who might be above that is triathletes, and I think they're just a little crazier, but and I'm speaking to myself with this, but I think that there is a lot of running that people can consume, especially, mm-hmm. and not just elite or advanced runners, but beginners, and just in a different way. But I think you guys are right on, and the way that I would say to do it is to obviously keep creating and publishing great content, and then expanding to, like you're looking at doing with your coaching conversations. Or listener questions. You know, a lot of times we see shows really change their trajectory with publishing different types of content. Mm-hmm. You don't alienate your existing audience, but you potentially open the doors to new people or different types of people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's great. Nice. And I should say, you know, we didn't touch on it, but you guys are already very highly rated. I was looking through iTunes the other day, and you guys are in the top. I you know, top 50 of all kind of health and fitness shows, I think. So don't yourself a little pat on the back for the work you've already done. I mean, it's a very successful show, and 60,000 downloads a month is nothing to laugh at, for sure.
Yeah, well, I can only thank the people that are listening for that. For, again, you said runners are very loyal and passionate. Well, they're the ones that are doing the ratings. As much as it would be tempting to just write myself ratings, I've never done that and I never plan to. So I can only thank them for actually being the ones to go out there. Because, you know, iTunes doesn't make it, or anywhere, Stitcher or any of the others don't make it very easy to rate. So I know it's, you know, an inconvenience. So I'm just very grateful to them for doing it, and for having a great editing company to make it the quality high.
Oh, we sure appreciate it. It's been great working with you, and hope for continued success for us all. So Tina, can you tell folks where they can learn more about the show and Runners Connect?
Yeah, sure. So the generic Runners Connect website is runnersconnect.net. A lot of people do .com, but it is .net. And then the podcast website is runnersconnect.net/running-podcast. So that's the easiest way to find it. But, you know, there are, I'm guessing you're going to put some link somewhere with this, but it's called Run to the Top. It is made by Runners Connect. So I think anytime you type that in anyway, it will come up. If I was going to tell people to recommend a starting episode, if they did want to listen and they are runners, I would recommend Dick Beardsley. And the link for that is runnersconnect.net/RC, the letters 83. So that's usually the one I tell people to start with.
Awesome. No, that's great. I love that suggestion of a specific kind of starter episode to get a flavor for what the show's about. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Tina, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed the show today. To find out more and check out all of the previous episodes, head on over to podcastmotor.com/show. I'd love to hear from you. If you can leave a rating and review in iTunes, please let me know what you think of the show. The ratings and reviews help us get more exposure to the show and bring on more awesome guests. All right, we'll see you next time.